This week on Sports and Stuff, I have three words for everybody. Baseball is back. The league and the Players Association finally agreed to a deal. I'm going to talk all about that on the show. Also, is Cam Newton possibly going to the Patriots? I'm going to give my thoughts on that. And I'll also talk about my birthday, which was this past weekend. All this and plenty more coming up on Sports and Stuff on EPRN and all of our media platforms. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen in to my podcasts and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us. Welcome to Sports and Stuff, everybody. Glad you could join us this week for another edition of Sports and Stuff. It was we wrap up the month of June. I'm John Meisner. You're listening to EPRN and all our other media platforms wherever you can enjoy Sports and Stuff. Hope you're staying safe. First of all, before we get started, I want to thank everybody for all the birthday wishes on Facebook this past weekend. I really appreciate that. That was always very nice. It's always nice to get some birthday love. Yeah, I'm 29 years old right now. It's kind of funny, you know. I always used to hear, you know, growing up that everybody would lie about their age and say, you know, I'm 29, and now I think I finally understand why, so they, you know, that they can feel young again. But this year I can actually, you know, honestly mean it. Say I'm 29. So again, thanks for all the birthday wishes. I enjoyed it. So anyway, as we get started this week, big news to report. Baseball is back, like I said at the top of the show. The Players Association and the league agreed to terms on a 60-game regular season to finish out 2020. Here's how it will work. 40 of the 60 games will be against teams in your own division. So for the Red Sox, since they play in the American League East, 10 games against each of the four teams in their division, Yankees, Orioles, Blue Jays, and Tampa Bay Rays. And the other 20 games, this is where it gets interesting, the other 20 games are going to be against interleague teams. Each team in their own division will play their National League counterpart. So the American League East will play the National League East, the AL Central plays the NL Central, and the AL West against the NL West, like that. And those 20 games will be against each team in their respective National League counterpart division. And the reason why they're doing that is to reduce travel and reduce the risk of possible more coronavirus cases. They're trying to keep everybody safe, you know, in a restricted area, which is smart. So those remaining 20 games will be against, like I said, the other division in the opposing league. And so there'll be four games against each team in that division. So that rounds out the 60 games. And the postseason will be a normal postseason like it always is, so that won't change. But there you have it, 60 games in about 66 days, they said, so they won't get a lot of off days in the meantime. You know, I'm just glad that there's some kind of baseball season. I'm so happy that they finally agreed to something. I mean, I was beginning to worry if there was going to be any kind of a season, just the way it was being handled. I thought the players were too selfish and egotistical this whole time. They were refusing to take a pay cut, which is why they kept turning down all the offers. Apparently, I mean, they've had to have agreed to something with Rob Manfred. So this is what they have. Still no word yet on whether or not they'll allow fans into the stadiums. I would think most of the stadiums will not do that. You know, I think it's going to come down to a couple things. It's going to come down to control and power. You know, Rob Manfred, I'm assuming, does have the right to not allow fans into any of the stadiums, but it's really more of a state thing. It's more of an individual, you know, sort of thing within each state of the country, what the governors want to do. I mean, I know, you know, Marty Walsh, who's the mayor of Boston, and, you know, Charlie Baker, who's their state governor, will not allow fans into the stadiums, into Fenway Park or, you know, pretty much anywhere else at this point for public gatherings. So I would hope that other states will follow suit, but if they don't, Rob Manfred may have to make it a league-wide thing, because for one thing, it wouldn't be safe having fans in the stadiums, and I also think it would give some teams a home field advantage which wouldn't be fair because, I mean, at this point, the right thing to do is to keep everybody on even ground, not have any fans in any stadiums, just so it's, you know, nobody has any kind of an advantage and that it's unfair to other teams that may not have fans. Because what are they going to do? Just have everybody sit like 6 feet apart and only allow limited capacity? Like, ugh, that's where it gets kind of, you know, kind of dicey. But yeah, if I were Rob Manfred, I just would say no fans in any stadiums until maybe the playoffs. But even then, I might be kind of risking it too. So I would just say, you know, across the board, no fans in any stadiums. I'm hoping that's what they do. I think it's the safest thing to do at this point. I'm sure the fans will understand. But so that's what I think they should do in case Rob Manfred has not made a decision on that moving forward. But anyway, hey, I'm just glad they got something out of it. 60 games, I'll take it. I mean, it's pretty much going to be a sprint to the finish. If you don't get off to a good start, it may be bye-bye for the, you know, till next year. So it's important that all the teams out there, including the Red Sox, get off to a good start. You know, even if your pitching's not going, at least maybe, you know, the bats will be because it's, you know, it's summer, so the ball will fly out of the ballpark easily. So I'm just glad baseball's back. It's my favorite sport, as some of you may know. So that's going to kick off July 24th, so a little less than a month from now, which is exciting. And yeah, basketball is going to start up on July 30th. The Celtics start July 31st. The way basketball started it is they'll have each of the remaining 22 teams that they've invited back. They've invited 22 out of the 30 teams that are either in the playoff mix or have a chance to clinch a playoff spot that are in it mathematically. Each of those teams will play 8 games. They all had about 16 games left, but they're going to cut it down to 8 because they want to get right to the playoffs as soon as possible. The Celtics start out with a tough opponent. They start off against the Milwaukee Bucks, who they were going to play in their regular season matchup before, you know, the world got turned upside down with the coronavirus. That's their first opponent. That's going to be a tough one. I think based on the opponents the Celtics have, I don't have a list in front of me, but they play the Milwaukee Bucks. I think they play the Portland Trailblazers, the Toronto Raptors, the Miami Heat. Then they got, I think, is it Brooklyn and Washington, I think, are in there too. Can't remember all I can name most of them right there, but I can't remember all 8 of them exactly. But most of the teams they're playing are below 500. And the only two good ones really are Milwaukee and Toronto. Miami's really good, but the Celtics don't have too much trouble against them. They're a good matchup for the Celtics. And Portland's good out in the Western Conference. So they got a few good teams, but they should beat those. I mean, other than Milwaukee and Toronto, they should win at least 6 or 7 of those games to improve their seeding. I mean, they can only get as high as the second seed. They're currently at number 3, and if things don't change with Toronto, if they don't get any worse, then the Celtics will pretty much be locked into number 3. I mean, they can't do much worse other than slip to, you know, 4 or 5, which, God forbid, doesn't happen. So they should finish as a 3 seed, or if not, in all likelihood, a 2 seed. Milwaukee's got the Eastern Conference wrapped up. They're going to end up as the 1 seed. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I'm just glad basketball's back. Hockey's going to come back in the near future as well in August. I know they're still deciding on hub cities. I believe Toronto is one of the teams that's being talked about or discussed as a hub city for the Eastern Conference. And there's a few teams in the West that are still being considered as well for a Western Conference hub city. There's St. Louis. There is, there's Las Vegas that's being considered. Maybe Minnesota, depending on how things stand there. So there's a few that are in the mix. A few Canadian teams, maybe Edmonton, Calgary, some possibly. Nothing's official yet, but I'm sure we'll probably hear something very soon from the NHL about that. So they're still deciding on that. Too bad Boston's not in the mix, because they do have a very good... they have a lot of hospitals and a lot of good doctors and nurses out there. You know, got the Lahey Medical Center, Dana Farber, but that's more for cancer actually. But for the Jimmy Fund, but still, they got a lot of good stuff out there for medical staff. And it's too bad it's not being considered. You know, but oh well. But hey, I'm just glad sports are back, folks. And I'll say this, you know, with the return of baseball and basketball in the near future, this is going to be really good for the country because, you know, sports are a nice distraction from the problems in our life that we deal with in our personal life and in society. It'll be a nice safe haven away from all the negativity in the world. And America needs this right now. You know, we really need something fun and recreational to watch to, you know, make us happy. And the athletes want nothing more than to give the fans what they want, you know, fun and entertainment and something to cheer for. You know, they want to get back on the field or in the court, and we want to see them play. So as long as everybody's safe and, you know, follows the rules and protocol, it shouldn't be too bad. I'm looking forward to it. The only thing that, you know, that's people are now a little skeptical of is, you know, will we see a spike in coronaviruses again now that players are, you know, around each other? I mean, as long as the medical staff is, you know, keeps everybody quarantined if somebody gets it, I don't think it should be a problem. I mean, again, as long as everybody's wearing a mask and keeping 6 feet apart and quarantined if they get it, you know, I don't think it should be too much of an issue. I mean, I think by now everybody knows how to deal with it, so I think we should be good. It looks like everything's looking on the bright side here. Because why not? You know, it's good to stay on the bright side in life. Don't want to get too down on yourself. So that's the latest with sports. And coming up after this timeout here on Sports and Stuff, we'll talk some more sports and entertainment, and we'll also talk a little bit about the daytime Emmys a little while, too. More sports and stuff after this. Stay with us.
Proud sponsor of Sports and Stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com.
This is John Meiser. You're listening to Sports and Stuff on EPRN and all of our other media platforms out there. Hope you're all staying safe. And, you know, one sport I haven't talked about just yet that I think we should get into right now is some football. Talk a little football, some NFL. Breaking news this weekend that I have to report here. Cam Newton has signed a one-year deal with the New England Patriots. Can you believe that? On the Carolina Panthers pretty much his whole career. Now he is a Patriot. And this has me scratching my head a little bit. And I'll tell you why. Bill Belichick in his career has taken chances on players who have a questionable reputation or may not be in the prime of their career. A few examples include, let's see, you have Tim Tebow, who they tried out in 2013 in training camp, and he did not make the team. Then you have Albert Haynesworth, who, you know, was a little bit, maybe on the bad side, maybe not the greatest guy in the world, but could still play a little bit, and he didn't really do anything special. And then you have Antonio Brown, who played a total of one game with the Patriots this past season before he got released because he was being a distraction. I mean, personal problems in his past kept coming up, and the team didn't want to deal with it, and I don't blame him. Very talented receiver, but just couldn't keep his baggage to himself. It was all out in the open. So anyway, you know, Cam Newton, let's talk about this for a minute. Cam Newton's a very good quarterback. You know, he can throw, he can run. Very, very athletic. You know, he's got great legs. Is he a good fit for New England? I don't know. I mean, if this had been a few years ago, then I'd be really excited about it. But the quarterback situation is a little uncertain right now. I mean, if you'd asked me about a week ago who the starting quarterback would be, I was going to say Jared Stidham. Now, I don't know at this point. Will it be Newton? Will it be Stidham? I mean, the Patriots just let go Tom Brady, you know, as everybody heard. So, do they want to go with another aging quarterback? or do they want to stick with a young quarterback and Jarrett Stidham and watch him grow and blossom? I would think Cam Newton at this point would be a backup. I mean, why bring him in for one season as a starter and then just see him leave? So I would think he would be the backup quarterback. That would be my guess. I would assume that they're committed to Jarrett Stidham in the long run. I've heard good things about him. There's a lot of hype behind him. So I would think Stidham's the guy, but hopefully Newton will be a good veteran leader to help Jarrett Stidham out. I would think he's being brought in just to kind of help Stidham along. That's my guess anyway. That's what I think. So I would think he's going to be the backup. I hope I'm right. I'd hate to see opening day come by and Newton's the starting quarterback. And me sound like an idiot here for being wrong. But at this point, I would say Stidham's the starter and Newton's the backup. But you're bringing in a good player. I mean, he's had success. He has been to one Super Bowl, even though he didn't win it. But he has had some success, and I think he'll be a good veteran leader for Jarrett Stidham. I mean, Stidham's already worked under Tom Brady, and now he's got another veteran in Cam Newton. So I would think the relationship between Newton and Stidham will be good. He'll help Stidham along. If Stidham gets off to a bad start, you can bring in Cam Newton to save us. So we'll see how this plays out. This is going to be interesting how they handle this in training camp the rest of the summer. Either way, they're both going to have to earn the starting quarterback job. It's not just going to be given to either Cam Newton or Jarrett Stidham. They're going to have to earn it. It's not easy. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open, and I'll let you know when they officially decide the quarterback. I'm assuming at this point it'll be Stidham, but maybe Newton still has something to prove. I think he does. So we'll see. We shall see. Yeah, football's the only sport that doesn't really have an official starting date. I mean, nothing's been said that they will not start the season on time. I mean, we hope it's by September. I think football's the one sport that could least afford to have a delay because, I mean, it is a multi-billion dollar organization and it's the most popular sport in America by now. I don't think there's any question about that. So they can't start the season later. They have to start in September. The only question is, will, like I said with the earlier, will they allow fans in the stadium? I don't know. Maybe not. It's interesting as I think about this. It's soccer. That was the first sport to come back about within the last month or so in the Premier League, and it's funny how they've kind of allowed fans to watch it but not physically be there. They've been watching on monitors. They had monitors in the stands with fans watching from home. So I guess they're not physically there, but they are. They do show them watching. It's kind of interesting. I hope the players aren't distracted. I mean, I can only hope the players don't get distracted with all these bright screens in their eyes or in their vision. So, so far they haven't been complaining. But I mean, if it were me, I probably wouldn't. I tell you, if I was a soccer player, I'd be very distracted with screens in front of me, with being so bright. But they're professionals, though. They can block all that out and play. So, be interesting to see if they do that with football. I don't think they will, but we'll see what happens. So, anyway, on that note, I think it's time for another break. We'll pay some bills, and when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the daytime Emmys. I'll give my thoughts on some of the winners and some of the nominees. A little entertainment talk, a little Emmy time coming up here on Sports and Stuff after these messages. We'll be right back.
MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTwatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTwatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price.
Welcome back to Sports and Stuff, everybody. And the Emmy for Best Podcast Talk Show goes to Sports and Stuff. Can you imagine we see the day we have an Emmy award show or a podcast award show for our network? I don't see it happening, but it would be kind of a funny thing to have. Yeah. But anyway, So to continue on here, let's talk some Emmys here, shall we? The 47th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards were held this past week on CBS. It was the first time it was held virtually, as you know, a lot of television has been lately. I'm not going to go through all the list of winners. You could just look online for that on the Emmys website. But a few that stuck out in my mind were this. Jeopardy got very heavily represented in the game show categories and did very well. They won an Emmy for Outstanding Game Show, and Alex Trebek won the Emmy for Outstanding Game Show Host. Very nice. Congratulations to him. That's his seventh Emmy he's won in his career for Jeopardy. What a career this guy's had. Seven Emmys. He even admitted in his little speech afterwards, when they showed him on camera, he was shocked. He didn't expect to win, but he did. And I thought it was interesting. He said that just to get nominated, he figures, would be kind of a win for him or for anybody. But being that he said he's been nominated, can you believe this, folks? 32 times. He's been nominated 32 times in his career, and he's won only 7 of them. So think about that. 25 out of the 32 times, he's lost. And so at this point, he says, you know, being that he's been nominated and lost so many times, that winning actually feels sweeter because it doesn't happen often. It's hard to win. So he appreciates it. Was very humble about it. Very classy. And, yeah, congratulations to Alex Trebek. And congratulations to everybody at Jeopardy. You know, it didn't surprise me that they won an Emmy this year. You know, considering what they put out there for programming. I mean, you had the Greatest of All Time event, which got a lot of hype. I'm so glad it did that on ABC primetime. You had the All-Star Games tournament this past year. Last year, actually. So I was glad it got an award. You know, you have to thank Harry Friedman for that. I mean, Harry Friedman has done so many great things with Wheel and Jeopardy over the years. He accepted the award, gave a nice speech. The executive producer, of course, of both shows. And he's retired now. So I have to say this. The future of Wheel and Jeopardy is, well, unknown. Because the man who took over for Harry Friedman, Mike Richards, as some people may or may not know, produced Wheel of Fortune Jeopardy, produced The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal in recent years for CBS and Fremantle. I have mixed feelings about him. He made a lot of what I thought were unnecessary changes to The Price is Right over the years. He's not always liked by everybody in the game show community, especially if you're a purist. I just hope he doesn't make too many drastic changes with Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. I hope he understands what makes those shows work. You know, he's being brought into, you know, a cast and crew that have been on that have been working on both shows, some of them, for many years. So I would think they would show him the ropes and tell him what to do and what not to do. So he's got a good, you know, supporting cast around him. I just hope he doesn't tinker too much with everything. But anyway, the reason I say this is because, you know, he had a questionable reputation producing The Price is Right. He made a lot of unnecessary changes with that. He changed the set. He brought in a male model. He changed how the show was filmed, having to stop for every little thing to make it look perfect. Okay, this is not a movie. Okay, he would if he didn't like the way a contestant reacted, if they showed him a new car, they'd make him react again if he didn't like it. I mean, if you don't like the way a contestant reacts, too bad. Okay, this is not a movie. Come on. It's just, what are they going to do on Wheel of Fortune if somebody gets bankrupt? Like, it didn't look dramatic enough, or it didn't look sad enough, or they didn't get excited enough if they got, the $5,000 space or something? I mean, come on. Leave the contestants alone. You know, they have contestant coordinators, okay? They don't need Mike Richards stepping in with all that stuff. It was a bunch of crap. So I hope he knows what he's doing, that he's figured out by now how to produce a game show. If not, then I mean, things may change with Wheel and Jeopardy in the next few years. So, you know, I think, because, I mean, you know, Pat Sajak and Alex Trebek, I think, have only 2 years left on their current contracts. So it's going to be interesting in the next couple years, you know, who their successors will be. Mike Richards is probably going to be the one that decides that, I would think, or somebody at Sony will. So he's definitely going to be leading these shows into the next generation of viewers with the different hosts. Yeah, one thing, you know, is interesting. I won't go on too much longer about this, but I will say this. I did see an interview with Vanna White on a little YouTube series, I'll give this a plug, called Hosts at Home with Adam Wurzel, who I've connected with on Facebook. And I thought it was interesting. He did ask Vanna about that at one point, about Mike Richards taking over for Harry Friedman. And she said she has talked to him. She thinks he's a nice guy. But even she knows, you know, having been the hostess of that show for so long, that she doesn't think it's necessary to have to talk during the game because, you know, she's there to do her job and touch letters. Well, I say this because when on Let's Make a Deal, Tiffany Coyne, as some may know who watch that show in the mornings, talks on a little microphone to Wayne Brady. You know, Vanna said she will, you know, do what he says, but even she knows that wouldn't be a good idea. If he makes her wear a microphone and talk to Pat during the show. I mean, it's going to be silly if, you know, if Pat goes, oh, what did you think of that letter there, Vanna? Like, oh, I had a hard time touching it, Pat, or something like that. You know, that's going to be ridiculous. It slows the game down if there's still too much chatter. Hopefully they don't do that. But again, we'll see. We'll see what they do by next season. But just a little worried about the future of those shows, how they're going to be presented. But anyway, those are my thoughts anyway. But anyway, back to the Daytime Emmys here. Kelly Clarkson actually got the award for Outstanding Talk Show Host. Now, that one surprised me a little bit. You know, she's only done that talk show for one season. But boy, has she made a good impression. She's definitely made her mark on the talk show biz. But she's got a good personality, though. She definitely, I mean, she loves to talk a lot, you know, for one thing. And she's fun, you know, she can use her talents, like, you know, music and singing on the show and interview all the celebrities, so, you know, she fits, I guess, you know, she's popular, so, I mean, she has a lot of fans out there. So, I mean, good for her, you know, congratulations, but that one kind of surprised me. I didn't think a newer host was going to get an Emmy, but she's definitely made an impression on people, that's for sure. She definitely started out with a bang. A breakout first season, so congrats to Kelly Clarkson. Soap operas were heavily represented, as they always are. I mean, I don't really follow the soaps that much, so I'm not going to talk too much about that. But I will say this, though. This caught my eye. They showed a lot of flashback clips from past Emmy shows, and one of the clips they showed, I thought this was interesting. Aretha Franklin was a big fan of Young and the Restless. And back in the 90s, they showed a little video of her saying how much she liked the show, and Eric Braeden, who's for many years has played Victor Newman on that show, acknowledged that and said, you know, he thinks if she were alive today that she'd be in the middle of the whole Black Lives Matter issue, which I won't talk too much about that. I'll just say that he thinks she definitely would have made a stand and made her voice heard, and I think he's right. I think she definitely would have. So very classy to acknowledge Aretha Franklin. By Mr. Braden. So, yeah, congrats to all the winners. And I will say, The Talk did a good job hosting it. They had the personalities from The Talk. You had Kariana Nava. You had, who do they have on that show? I forget the names of all. Marie Osmond and Eve is on there. And who's the other one? Is it not Sherry Shepherd, not Gail King? What's her... I can't remember the other one. I'm sorry, I don't watch The Talk every day, but anyway, they did a good job, you know, given what they had to work with. I did think, I have to be a little critical here. I did think the constant clapping and saying congratulations after every single person had won an award got a little repetitive. I mean, it did look a little staged, maybe a little fake. I mean, I know they want to be nice, but to clap your hands and say congratulations. I mean, they had no idea who won. I think I could tell that was like pre-taped. Because they didn't say, you know, congratulations to Alex Trebek or congratulations to Kelly Clarkson. They didn't know who was winning. They just producers probably made them do that just to make it look good. Like they knew who won. No, they didn't. They had no idea who won anything. They just knew the nominees, and I don't even know if they knew the nominees either, because they were maybe they might have dubbed that in post-production or something. It's all done in advance, I think, when they taped it. So, I don't know. I tend to get a little critical the way things are produced on TV. It's just, it's always been one of my unique traits I got in me. I just got kind of a, you know, good eye for that sort of thing. So, anyway, hope everybody enjoyed it. For those that did see it, for those that are fans of daytime television. And, so other than that, not too much news to report in entertainment, that I know of, anyway. The Emmys going on, of course. I mean, still a lot of stuff has been shut down production-wise, and rightfully so. You know, there's a lot of unknown right now. You know, nobody knows when they're going to open back up production again out in Hollywood. But I would think the shows that would be affected by that are anything with a live audience. Like, you know, The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal, and any show with a sitcom with an audience that actually watches instead of, just a laugh track. It'll be interesting to see how they use that moving forward. With Wheel and Jeopardy, they can get away with, canned applause and canned laughter. You can't get away with that on The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal. Because, as everybody knows, all the contestants come out of the audience. So I kind of wonder how they're going to handle that moving forward. That's going to be a very tough decision for the producers to make. I mean, do they have everybody sit 6 feet apart or have smaller crowds? Like, I don't know what they do. Is everybody in the audience going to wear a mask or something? Like, it's going to be kind of silly on camera, but I don't know. The future's very up in the air right now with both those shows, so we'll see what happens. So anyway, we'll take another break and come back with more sports and stuff after this. Stay with us.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network would like to thank our listeners for tuning in via EPRN.us. We're grinding it out with new shows and a continuous flow of episodes from all of our network podcast radio hosts. Join in, send us an email to info@EPRN.us if you're interested in hosting your own show on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. On board EPRN.us. Then take the time to tell a friend to listen in to EPRN.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Welcome back to Sports and Stuff, everyone. And we don't have too much more to talk about on the show this week. I'll just kind of quickly recap everything I went over here. We talked about the baseball season coming back. Basketball is coming back already. Hockey will be in the probably around August or so, and hopefully football will resume in September like it usually does. And like I said, Cam Newton signed a one-year deal with the Patriots. Be interesting to see if he'll be a backup or a starter. I'm gonna say he's a backup. I don't even know if he'll make the team out of training camp. I would think he would. He would be a good influence for Jared Stidham. I still say Stidham's the starting quarterback by opening day. So I'm going to make a prediction and say that. And like I said, baseball's back. July 24th, that starts. 60-game season. I'm so excited. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that moving forward. I'll get my final thoughts on that right now here. Announcers for NESN, at least. I don't know if other teams are doing the same thing, but the NESN baseball announcers will not be allowed at Fenway Park or any other ballpark for that matter to announce the games. I don't think they're going to allow the media into the stadiums. So they're going to broadcast from the NESN Television Center. Dave O'Brien, Jerry Remy, and Dennis Eckersley. This isn't the first time they've done that, actually. About a decade ago, back in 2010, the Bruins started the season out in Prague, Russia, I remember. And they didn't allow the media to announce that game for whatever reason. And so Jack Edwards and Andy Brickley announced the games from the NESN studios. on monitors, which was for, I think, for two games. The Bruins played two games in Russia against the Phoenix Coyotes. So that's the only other time that's happened with one of the Boston teams for Nesson, for either the Red Sox or Bruins. But this is the first time it's happening for the Red Sox. It's going to be interesting how they handle it. I bet it's going to be different from a production standpoint. And so that'll be different for sure. And mentioned the Emmys, of course, like I said. Congratulations to all the winners. And hopefully next year they'll go back to normal with and all award shows will be in front of a live audience. But we don't know at this point. So that's still a long ways away, what the future holds. And other than that, I think that's just about everything I have to cover this week. So we'll call it a show. In the upcoming couple weeks, hopefully I'll get a couple guests on, so I'll keep you all updated on that. And in the future, if you have any questions or comments you'd like to leave me, feel free to contact me either on Facebook or you can interact with me on our community group page, our Sports and Stuff community page. I'm always posting content there. And if you want to reach out to me via email, my current email address is my regular one. It's RedSoxWatcher0627. @gmail.com. Again, that's Red Sox, REDSOX, Red Sox Watcher, 0627 @gmail.com. This week's episode of Sports and Stuff has been brought to you by Village Pizza and Harold's Ice Cream in Western Massachusetts. Known for their pizza and ice cream, they got some of the best stuff out there. So be sure to support our local businesses. I mean, some of them are opening back up again. So if you're going to go out, say thank you, give them good service. They'd love to see you. And I feel bad for small businesses at a time like this, not being able to, having to make so many adjustments to follow state protocols. But I'm glad that they are opening back up again, so it's good for them. And it's been a lot of outdoor dining, so I've been doing a little outdoor dining recently, so it's nice. And the weather's not too hot anyway. So that's going to do it this week for us here on Sports and Stuff, everybody. Again, thanks for the birthday wishes. I really appreciated them. Have a safe and happy 4th of July next week. Next week as we start July, it'll be 4th of July weekend. So have a safe and happy Independence Day, everybody. Stay safe out there. God bless you all. And nice to know that sports are just around the corner. So that's great to say that for once. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week, and happy 4th of July. This is John Meisner, saying for all of us at EPRN and all of our media platforms, thanks for listening, everybody. Take care, and so long.